Good morning. Today is Wednesday, Admissions Day, September the 9th. Okay, admissions if you're in California. If you're in Oregon, it's a different day. Joining us this morning.
Is this the day you admit to everybody you don't know what Admissions Day is?
Yeah. Or you just, and that's called Confession Day.
Okay.
Didn't quite get quite the same traction as Admissions Day has. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Mike Wilson.
Good morning. Sorry, I jumped right in on front of you there.
No. That's
extra coffee.
That's highly recommended. Okay, Winston, why do we say it?
Why do we say a person who is unable to answer a question is stumped?
Stumped.
Maybe that's what's left after their head is no longer attached to their body?
I'm thinking political stumping, campaigning. On the stump, so to speak, when politicians used to stand up on a stump to be seen above the crowd, and somebody had a question and they couldn't answer it. How's that?
Mine's much more morbid. So.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
But it might be more correct, though.
Nope, it actually has to do with cricket. When a person is stumped, he's outwitted. And in the game of cricket, the pitcher who has succeeded in hitting the wicket, or stump, has outwitted the batter.
Oh, those darn British. Okay.
Europeans always have their own ways.
That's why we like baseball better than cricket, right?
I've never played cricket, so I have to try it. And then I'll report back.
I've seen it. All I know is that you can hit it all over the place, and there's no fair or foul line. It's a little different ball game that way. And you only have one baseline, which is really strange.
Yeah. I think their insults are more subtle, too.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. You get day-old crumpet then. Oh, well, Mike, it's got to be kind of not a wry smile, I would suspect, that so many of our neighbors in the region are having PG&E cut power, and that is it a nuclear plant? Well, that's kind of how I refer to it as. The nuclear plant is kicking out power into the area, and most of Humboldt County is not having to suffer from these roving power outages. Is this working the way that everybody was hoping it would be working after last year's experience?
Well, I mean, so of course it's not a nuclear power plant. It's
right.
It's a natural gas fired plant. So just to remind everybody.
Okay, natural gas fired. I got to get that into my mind, too.
And it's important. I mean, you know, all our lights, all our electricity, for the most part, still comes from fossil fuels. So we still have a carbon impact from turning on our lights from the burning of fossil fuels for the most part. And you know, without even the islanding concept, most of our electrons, if not all of our electrons, except for those from the biomass plants and a few small solar systems around, really comes from that natural gas plant, has been for a very, very long time. The issue with the shutdowns with the PSPS had to do with just a switching issue that I would say was just overlooked when they upgraded the power plant to the new natural gas generators some time ago. And then when we got into that situation last year, the weakness that had been sort of forgotten about, well, I think that's been fixed now. Been tested. So one would assume that, we're in a situation where our other lines coming into our community that we're connected to the grid by, even though we don't use them very often in terms of importing electricity, those are likely shut off currently. And so one could assume that we are islanding at this time. And just by islanding, this just means, you know, operating as we mostly do, which is producing electricity at that plant. And so the PSPS issues that we're seeing currently have to do with lines in our community that are going through high fire zone areas. I think they call them red flag areas. And if you're on a circuit that is connected to that, you might not even be in the high fire area, just kind of like a miniature version of what happened last year. So there's small pockets in the community that may be impacted that are not in those red flag areas that could be impacted. Islanding is working. And for most customers, and it's still available. You know, electricity is still available where it's safe to deliver it in Humboldt County.
So as we look at the future, is this going to be the ability for us to remain insulated, I guess, from some of these challenges that other communities might have? Or if we have the floods, when we have the floods, and we're isolated because of those power line or those power supply lines may not be getting in here, is this what we're going to experience?
Well, I mean, it definitely, in terms of our independence from the grid, it's a good thing. And like I said, we've been producing that electricity before. It's just the switching was outdated and has been corrected so that in a time when we really are disconnected, we're able to function. I mean, that's great. I mean, the power plant itself is, you know, has some vulnerabilities in the long term. I mean, it sits at about 12-foot elevation. So considering sea level rise and tsunami and those sorts of things, I would say, you know, we definitely have something to deal with there and you know, kind of a long-term concern with regards to that. But we have operated, you know, as I've mentioned before, in a sort of island capacity related to other energy elements in terms of our fuel. We're, you know, one of the few places on the continental U.S. that barges in fuel, other than maybe some spots on the Mississippi River and some other places like that. So we're, you know, it's one of the reasons our fuel prices are what they are. We don't bring it in by truck. It's barged in like on an island. So, you know, we do have, from an energy perspective, you know, we do have some independence. Certainly, moving towards renewable energy would make us even more independent, much, much more independent. And so that's why it's one of the things I encourage us to do all the time, is to try and figure out ways that we can both reduce our energy consumption, because that makes you more independent, the less you actually have to rely on those energy sources.
All makes sense, and that's certainly the direction things are rolling now. KINS, yep. News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson from the Humboldt County, oh, I don't know, brainstem? Do you like that phrase?
The center
of, yes, the county. Mike, before the break, you were talking about some of the energy desires. You know, the state certainly has put in plans to encourage different forms of renewable energy to go in place. What is the status with the solar panels in the area, either in the state or here locally? Is there access to those? Do we have people that know how to install those? I know there's some really large projects, like at the airport and the casino in Blue Lake have got, and I think maybe Bear River has got them also. But do we have the expertise to be able to put those in place here in the county at this point?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say that demand for the residential systems is, you know, outpacing the abilities, not the abilities, but really the capacity of our workforce to install them. But they're doing a really good job. I will note that the largest solar panel system in Humboldt County, and maybe in the north seven counties, is actually on the Harbor District's building out there on the out at the mill site at the
out in the spit.
Yeah. Oh. Out on that warehouse out there. I think there's at least maybe 150,000 square feet. It's a pretty big system. It's definitely the biggest one in the county by a long shot until the one at the airport is built. There is some capacity. Humboldt County uses about 150 megawatts of power for the, in general. And, probably our solar capacity is 3 or 4 total, I think, in the entire county, maybe less than that. So, we have a long ways to go.
Is it still affordable?
Our energy with that.
I know the state had put in a program to encourage residential conversion or I guess to add on. Is that still in play, or is that starting to fade out now or sunset?
The state has programs. I think the federal one has been sunsetting. There is a new program. I don't have the details in front of me, but if people are able to use the Google, they can probably find out. But Tesla, there's a battery program that is out there right now. I recommend having probably someone from RCEA be a guest on your show to really get into the details. But there is, for qualified homes, there is a program for battery backup, which is another way to really improve power efficiency. Because many people like myself have, because I have an electric car. We often are put on these systems or these energy programs where we're encouraged to use power during times when it's when they have a lot of it, and then so that's like at night and then those other times. And so if you have things like electric car or battery backups in your homes and those sorts of things, you can power up during those times. And that really helps well with the bills, but it really helps with the power grid and the efficiency of the power grid too. So I encourage people to really consider battery backup systems for their homes, and also for myself, my electric car is also a battery backup system with just an inverter. I'm able to power my refrigerator and other appliances during a power outage from my car. So when I tell people, I got this cute little car, it's a functional vehicle. It's really my battery backup system on 4 wheels. So
you take your backup with you when you go, right?
Yeah, and it turned out to be an amazingly efficient, cost efficient. I got a used vehicle for not very much money. It doesn't cost me much to run it. It doesn't have any fluids of any kind, so it doesn't really have a transmission per se, because it's direct drive. It's it has regenerative brakes, meaning that it actually uses far less braking capacity because it's generating electricity when you press on the brakes. And so maintenance wise it's nothing. It is a very cost effective vehicle on all levels, and it again helps moderate some of those energy issues that we have.
Do we know anything yet, Mike, about you're mentioning maintenance of solar panels? Is that a significant challenge? Because you see them on roofs, and for a lot of folks, climbing on the roof isn't something that's particularly an activity that they feel comfortable with. Is there any maintenance with these panels, or are they kind of bulletproof?
Well, I mean, for the most part, there's no moving parts, so there really isn't a lot of maintenance. I mean, I would say that if you're next to the ocean, your corrosion issues might be a little bit more than some other places that you might have to be in terms of just the wiring and making sure those things are protected. I would say that if you have issues like what we have right now with the fires, it's possible if you're living, in a place where there's lots of soot coming down, you might have to spray those things off every once in a while. But in general, there's not really a maintenance issue per se. And the panels themselves, their, you know, their lifetime lifetime effectiveness is growing all the time. It's just getting better and better.
Right. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Mike Wilson. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, by Redec, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, along with Baywood Golf and Country Club. Mike, with the activities associated with the virus and some of the changes that are going on, the color coding statewide, or I guess that would be called uniformity, more clarity? Do we kind of have a little bit better sense of where things are? Is the county not quite so much in the code enforcement and information?
Red. Yeah. Okay. Well, because they have the code. I think we're in orange right now, and then there's red and then purple.
Right.
Anyways, they tiered the system. I think it is a bit more flexible. I think it's a bit more, it's more specific. And so I think it's a better system, but I will say that, you know, with that announcement from the state, it has allowed the county a lot more flexibility in what's going to be open. And so we're seeing a lot more, you know, restaurants and I think we're even talking movie theaters pretty soon and some other things, you know, allowing to be open, of course, with some pretty significant, you know, modifications and restrictions associated with masking and social distancing and those sorts of things, but allowing some of those activities to occur. And our numbers are, you know, elevated to what, from what they were some months ago. But they seem to be holding fairly steady. The concern is, you know, when we start having those types of activities opening back up again, we don't want to push our numbers into where we have to close everything again. So really, that's why we're really encouraging people to take seriously the masking and the social distancing when they're in public and in those places. But also understanding that, you know, a lot of our outbreaks that we're having and the numbers we're having aren't coming from necessarily as much of the business activities we're talking about. Of course, they do happen in those spaces and they can, we can have problems, but I have to say it's like because of people's behaviors, that's generally, that's not where it's coming from now. I mean, that would change if we change the way we do our behavior, but it's really the social gatherings, the parties, the barbecues, those sorts of things, the family events that are driving the numbers currently. And then, you know, that's coupled with travel. So people leaving the area to go to family events, people coming to the area to visit family and have events. That's our number one, you know, issue, our number one driver. Of course, we're still concerned, and we still do have issues in all of the areas where one might imagine. It's just that's kind of for us currently, that's sort of like the one we're most concerned about.
Right. Now, I we hear about the positive tests, but I've been kind of lazy and haven't been tracking the number of hospitalizations, which is obviously a completely different number. How are we stacking up versus other counties in the state as far as hospitalizations or a percentage of the population that has had to take that additional step?
well, we're doing pretty good. I mean, that has a lot to do with why we're able to move into the tier that we're at, the orange tier, and, you know, have a lot of businesses open. Most of the state is not anywhere close to that. So, you know, our county's ability, as much as, you know, some people are, you know, very, you know, saying, I'm out in the community and I see people without masks, and it's true. I mean, we do have some issues here and there, but for the most part, you know, our efforts to, as a community, to really play it safe and do a good job, and, you know, really help monitor and encourage other people to participate in that, has kept us in a place where we're able to have the ability to really have more, I guess you'd say, economic interaction, so long as we're being safe about it. So,
right, right.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. I just, you know, that could all go away if we, you know,
Get stupid.
Heed the precautions. Yeah, exactly.
We don't always have to use the fancy words around here. KINS, right, News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to NorthCoastSBDC.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, what's the status of replacing or finding a permanent new public health officer? I think a lot of us were a little surprised that the position's not a full-time position, and then obviously with the workload that's been associated with this recent six-month period, right. It's more than a full-time position.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So in general, you're right. For the most part, it's not necessarily, you know, with a competent person, it's not necessarily required to be a full-time position. In general, public health, for the most part, is pretty steady state effort. And, you know, that the staff at the lab that we have, which we're very, very lucky to have a public health lab in this area. One of the reasons we do is because we have an oyster industry that, you know, needs that service. But we are always, you know, on the lookout for whatever those things may be, whether it's having to do with, you know, some bacterial infections or, you know, blue-green algae issues or whatever these public health issues may be in our community. You know, one of the reasons that we have such a healthy community in general in the United States relative to so many other places is just because this ongoing low-level public health effort that's just always behind the scenes and working really hard and that we just don't even see every day, right? Restaurant inspections, all that stuff to just keep everything, you know, at bay. So not a huge surprise in terms of the resignation of Dr. Frankovich. I mean, she was hired part-time. She was doing a great job. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. And, you know, her life in general was not, you know, she has a husband that she'd like to help take care of. She has older family members, and it just wasn't really in what she was, you know, trying to do with her life. So we're lucky to have had her for as long as we did, and she still is the public health officer until we hire somebody new. So she's not like hasn't just disappeared or anything like that, and she will go back to part-time helping with this effort and strategy and just being around for that and other duties. So I think the transition is going to be really very smooth. I think she was able to do in her life, which is, we all understand those limits.
Sure.
That's just kind
sure.
of how it goes. Yeah. And that was already known from the beginning. So again, I just, you know, want to be wholehearted thank you to her, for working as hard and still working right now. You know, she's still doing it until such time as we find a replacement. So
where do you find somebody for a position like this? Somebody who wants to be semi-retired, somebody who's local that that would be a nice resume builder? Because it is part-time and it's not really a department head per se, but it sort of is, working in concert with DHHS. How do you find a replacement?
Well, not knowing how long this epidemic is, this pandemic is going to be going on, I would say that anyone who is applying for this position should expect it to be full-time, at least for the foreseeable future. So I'm not too worried. I mean, the difference between that job being full-time and part-time is not something that is a big concern to me, other than the delivery of the, you know, what's required in the current context. So I would say that that right now it's a full-time position.
Right.
and anyone applying for the job should consider it to be a full-time position, at least for the foreseeable future. However, I will say that job description is something that needs to be developed through our human resources department, and I have not seen it. So we'll see.
Fair enough. Do you think
I could be speaking out of school a little bit? So
is this something that should be considered to be upgraded to a full-time position instead of a three-quarter position?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say, like, I don't have an answer to that really, because we're in a space where it's just, you know, unprecedented, right? And so that's a conversation we're just gonna have to have with our with human resources and how that position is developed and advertised.
Sure.
So we'll see. I mean, I'm not the arbiter. I'm, you know, as some of my supervisors say, I'm only 20% of the decision making body, and even then, you know, there's a whole lot of decision makers that we work with.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were just going along for the ride. Thanks for coming by, buddy.
No. We're deep in it. We're deep in it. Just like,
there you go.
No one is the king or queen of this entire operation,
yeah,
for sure.
I've noticed, yep. Alrighty, thanks for coming by. Appreciate it.
Hey, always good to be here.
Alrighty, Mike. Bye-bye. See everybody tomorrow.
Talk to you, everybody.